Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Page Wars, nothing but Page Wars.
Hey, you guys, welcome to Page Wars. I am comedian Steele Saunders, and I do not have time to read Star Wars books and comics, so we have King Tom do it for us. Welcome back to Page Wars, to your show, the King of All Toms.
Our show. I couldn't do it without you. You couldn't do it without me.
I reckon I could do it without you.
Probably.
It wouldn't be as good.
Well, it depends on who you had doing it. Or on the other end, I should say. Or you could read the books yourselves, report to them, and then you wouldn't have time for anything else.
If it depended on me reading the books, it would be a far worse show.
But maybe more entertaining.
It would be far less frequent. And it'd come out as often as George Lucas' Star Wars films.
Yeah.
You get every 3 years, you get one, and then there'd be like, you know, a decade or two break.
Right. And then you'd be doing, you know, 2011's Darth Plagueis this week.
That's like, that seems very confident.
Yeah, maybe you're back in the 90s when the moon landed on Chewbacca.
I think I'd be hitting, like, the glove of Darth Vader right now. Mission
There's
to
this
Mount
guy,
Vader.
Trioculus.
Now, this is one of our Patreon bonus shows, but in the interest of sizzling, we're going to put every third one up in full on the main feed so you can find out what we're doing and then maybe miss us for the other two. This is for all the bonus shows, and there is a ton. And, Tom, this is a new show on the Steel Wars Patreon feed, and we've done two episodes. What, just to the newcomer, to the free feed dweller, what was my pitch to you about what this show was?
I don't have time to read the books. Can you talk to me and tell me what I need to know, if I'm missing anything, how these tie into the movies? Just give me some information about them.
Yes. You're like Siri for Star Wars EU.
I suppose so.
What do they call it? We need an EU, like, name. The new you.
The new you. I like that. But I mean, everyone just says new canon, but I like new you.
And it'd be spelt like N-U-U.
Ooh, yes. It reminds me of the 1980s Marvel Comics New Universe that crashed and burned on the inside of a year.
Oh.
Yeah. The new you, the Star Wars new you, has lasted a lot longer and been much more successful.
What's up with these people that make Star Wars stuff and refer to it as the extended universe?
I think that's more the people who buy billboards. Because they don't like that it's now called Legends.
No, I am sure, like Jon Favreau keeps referring to it as like the extended universe.
Oh, is that, like, are they trying to brand the non-saga as the extended universe? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the insider term to say it's not just the EU, it's the...
It's
like, I guess,
expanding.
The Clone Wars. I guess the Clone Wars cartoon would be as a part of the extended universe,
right?
Because it's not EU, because it's still current.
Yeah.
Okay. What drives you to read all these books, Tom?
I like to read. I like Star Wars. Most of the books I read, I like in some way or another, and I like knowing all that extra material and stuff and character interactions. And some of these books I really, really like. They, not as much as the movies, but there are some books that, you know, get me to think and move me in ways. And most of them add to the movies themselves.
I know other people on contributors to this Patreon feed that would disagree with you in a very sincere way.
I know exactly who you're talking about. And, you know, I understand what he's saying, because part of me does think that movies should stand on their own and tell a story and not everything has to tie together. And I get that. But then at the same time, I like spending time in this universe. And I think a lot of other people do. But we're all Star Wars fans. And we could all come around that love of Star Wars. Okay. I think that's a beautiful thing about having all these books and all this extended material. If you don't like it, you don't have to ingest it.
What about – I do want to start the actual episode soon, but
– Okay, yeah.
But I also I can't resist a tangent.
Of course not.
What about – what do you think with – like you're saying, like, if you don't like the extra stuff – you don't have to ingest it, right?
Right.
What about in the case of like Star Wars Rebels or Clone Wars, where to get the ending of the Solo film, you kind of needed to have seen them?
That's a bit of a trickier issue. And I suppose that one could say that tying that in like that gives those other things value. It gives you a reason to watch it. But then at the same time, if you don't want to, you always have shows like this to get you caught up on the things you don't want to spend time with, just to get an idea of what happens.
The irony of that, of course, is people that don't watch Clone Wars or Rebels are the least likely people to subscribe to a Patreon feed about Star Wars.
That's correct. That's probably correct.
So we need a broader broadcasting system to help them.
Yeah.
There's like, it's sort of seen as a negative by some people that, you know, you did have to have knowledge of the cartoons to instantly understand what the hell was going on at the end of Solo. You know, you can get your head around it without that, but not instantly.
Maybe.
I'm not sure how. But you can just understand it. You can comprehend it. Because the explanation is very far-fetched.
It is very far-fetched, but if you've paid attention to the other things that happened in not just Solo, but other Star Wars movies, maybe you could accept it. Yeah. Or if you could accept, you know, another plane of existence where people come back from as blue ghosts or can levitate things with their mind, but you can't accept a guy coming back from being sliced in half with spider legs. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
All right. I'm waiting for a like a mouse droid that's been fused with the head of Darth Tyrannus.
I could go for that. Why don't they put Darth Tyrannus' head on Darth Maul's legs?
Oh.
Nothing's happening with those legs. They're somewhere. They're still out there.
Is there a backstory to the legs? What comic can we pick up on those legs?
I have not seen them. There was a Darth Maul comic series that the legs were not mentioned. At no point did he say, I wonder where they're kicking around these days.
But yet Darth Vader's like having all these visions of his ex-girlfriend.
Right, right, as butterflies.
And this guy just, his legs.
Well, he's obsessed with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Get some legs.
Yeah.
At last you'll have your revenge. It's no. It's not happening. Let it go, dude.
At last you'll be able to walk without charging your legs for 3 hours.
Or having them affected by insect repellent.
You know, that would be nice, though. I was outside earlier. It bugs all over the place. I wouldn't mind having robot legs just so I wouldn't have mosquitoes bite me all over the place.
Wow.
My wife is back here laughing at me.
The bugs in Ohio must be crazy if you're considering, like...
Well, I wouldn't say I'm considering. It just, you know, it'd be nice.
Excellent.
Content.
All right. So how we break down the episode is, first of all, we have Tom's turn it or burn it recommendation. That's if he just thinks you should read it or torch it. Then we're going to do Black Spire, which covers the goings on at Galaxy's Edge one Thursday afternoon. I really want to find out about how the Aftermath series could affect Episode 9 and those Star Destroyers that we've seen. And then we'll go into a non-spoiler discussion about the book. And then Tom, at the end, will just tell us what happened, what we need to know, who saw who winked at what, when, and how.
I think there was winking. You know, Darth Maul only blinks once.
In the whole movie?
In the whole movie.
No way. When does he blink?
Right before he gets chopped in half.
Oh, telling.
Yeah. I think that's one of my favorite facts about The Phantom Menace.
You know Reyes?
Mm-hmm.
What would be the sketchiest way for him to wink at you?
Middle eye.
Middle. Not just one or both on the edges. Oh, I know. What about middle and like left eye at once? And then the other one open.
Yeah, maybe. Do you think if he's like, you know, trying to see something far in the distance, does he close two eyes or one? You know, like you're trying to look, see something through, like instead of telescopes, do they have, well, I guess binoculars. Do they have trinoculars?
No, he just holds his eyes together like they're like macro God, I've got the a speech impediment on a Friday afternoon, which is perfect for podcasting. Now, the other two books were done on episodes 1 and 2. We did Thrawn Treason and Star Wars Myths and Fables, and one of them, I'm not going to spoil it. One of them's a burn it. One of them's a turn it.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the moment, the Star Wars EUUU. No, what did I say it was going to be called?
New you.
The new you. It's even. It's just. It's a C, I guess. That's where it's scoring at school. Black Spire, turn it or burn it.
Turn it.
Oh, there we go. Excellent. All right. We'll talk about that in non-spoiler and spoiler detail in a little bit. But what I want to know, because the other part of like having you do this show is when I have got a question,
mm-hmm.
I need a reference, right?
Okay.
I call my new you Siri, which we need a better name, Siri. What was the... Was it Guri? Was that the...
Guri. She was the sex robot.
Yeah, you can be Guri.
Shizor.
You can be Guri.
Yeah, we'll come up with something else.
Guri?
I don't know about that.
I've never been more certain than anything.
I'm sure you haven't.
All right, my little Guri. Let's so what I want to know, I read the Aftermath trilogy, and I always say that each book gets twice as good as the one it precedes.
I
really, by the end, I was Like, the second book, I was quite into the characters, and by the third book, I was deeply attached to many of the characters. And I was met with some emotional moments towards the end of the book, I've got to tell you. But, and this is spoiler alert for this whole deal. At the end of the last one, was it called Empire's End? Or am I?
Yes, okay. Empire's End.
Okay. I had no idea if that was like a Dark Horse comic book in like 97 or something like that.
It could have been.
It is revealed that she, for the Emperor, has got some sort of military bunker hidden on Jakku.
Mm-hmm.
That, what was that guy's name? Not Snoke.
Rax.
Rax. Nope. That's what his name should have been.
Nope. Yeah.
That he was sort of overseeing. So, explain what happens at the end, or what's revealed. What's on Jakku, first up?
Okay. There is an ancient observatory on Jakku. It's called the Observatory. It's a Sith installation underground, and it houses artifacts, and it houses ancient computers, and it also basically turns Jakku into a weapon. And Sidious, for years, even going back probably to the time when he was a senator, has been building up this installation. One of the reasons to do it was to make a map of a path through the unknown regions. The unknown region is an area of the galaxy that is set apart from the rest of the galaxy, bordered by storms, nebula, black holes. It's near impossible to pass.
Do you think the people that live there just call it the regions?
I think they just call it home. But the Chiss, the people of Grand Admiral Thrawn, they come from the unknown regions, and they have a way of navigating through. And it says in Empire's End that one of the ways Sheev's computers found a way through was with the help of Thrawn.
Really?
Yes.
In one of the Aftermath books?
In the final Aftermath book, which I think came out around the time that Thrawn was brought back in Rebels. So it wasn't like that was a big surprise, but it did say Palpatine was aided by Thrawn to find his way through. He was trying to find his way through because in one of the earlier Aftermath books, there's a friend of the Emperor, an advisor, Tashu, who said that Sidious... I'm sorry?
Ernie,
said that.
Do you think Sidious, when he comes and visits him, he like barges in the door?
I don't know. He seemed to be able to hold down a regular job, and he didn't have crazy ideas.
Okay.
And he didn't. I don't think he ever raided Sheep's fridge, if that's what you're asking about.
That's what I'm asking about.
Yeah. No, he didn't really see. He had a few eating scenes, but I think it was all provided food. But he said that Sidious believed the unknown regions to be the source of power, the source of darkness, which is why Sheev wanted a way through it. And basically Palpatine has been using the observatory and other facilities to map a way through the unknown regions. And he's been sending ships, he's been sending droids. And in the Last Jedi novelization, it says that he seeded the area with laboratories and shipyards.
In the Last Jedi novelization?
Yes.
Why does it say that?
Because Snoke is reflecting on how he came to be involved in all this.
He's reflecting.
Yes. So it gives a moment of reflection to Snoke.
Does it describe him putting his like hand up to his chin to ponder?
I don't recall, no.
Reflecting. I'm glad he had a chance to reflect before he got the old Darth Maul, maybe this time it will work trick.
Maybe. But no, the Last Jedi kind of gives the idea that Snoke had been there and knew the way through, and he helped the First Order survive and was able to take over that way.
So...
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like these unknown regions are pretty important.
They are. So early on, before the Battle of Endor, Sheev sent his personal super star destroyer out to the unknown regions. It made it through. The Battle of Jakku happens, and the whole plan.
So when Sheev sends his star destroyer through, but he's not in it.
No, he's not. He's he's an Endor.
Okay, got you.
Okay, so he had tasked Rax with this contingency plan. So if Palpatine were to die, Rax would carry forth this plan to cut the fat from the Empire and engineer a battle that destroys both most of the remaining Empire forces and the Republic forces at the Battle of Jakku. Because if the observatory was to build up to full power, Jakku would basically blow up and take all of the fleets with it. Meanwhile, Rax would escape on Palpatine's ship along with Hux's father, who was training a bunch of children from Jakku as soldiers.
And Ernie.
And Ernie, yes. And they would flee into the unknown regions. But Ernie died. I think Rax killed Ernie.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grand Admiral Sloan killed Rax. And Sloan went with Hux, Hux Sr., Hux Jr., and the kids. And then it took them months, but they eventually made their way through to the Super Star Destroyer.
So when you say kids, is it possible Finn's one of those kids?
No, because these are all – these were – I think they were between like 8 and 13-year-olds at the time of 1 year after the Battle of Endor. And so that would be older than Finn.
And they were getting trained inside the observatory.
There was another facility on Jakku because another part of it was
this is like Lost when you find out about all those bunkers.
Yeah, exactly. This was the training school book station.
You got Imperial Desmond down there just freaking out with his sweet accent.
Yeah. So these kids, part of Sheev's plan was to train these kids as the next wave of Imperial soldiers. And one of them ends up as a character in the Black Spire book. One of these kids from Jakku.
Oh, wait. When's the Black Spire book set?
A few months after The Last Jedi.
Got you.
So 36 years, 37 years after Return of the Jedi, maybe?
So this is just in the meat of canon right now.
Yes, it is.
Interesting. So those Star Destroyers, are they like, do you think they're like in the unknown regions? Or I listened to one, I can't remember which podcast, I would like to point my finger at the person. It might have been the Star Wars Underworld, but someone had the theory that those Star Destroyers could be part of a vision as well. And I just started like, no more, it kind of annoys me in the game of working out what those trailers mean is now you can just, for anything you can't explain, like vision.
Yeah. So someone just hit their head and saw, instead of one, they saw 100 Star Destroyers.
So that's many visions.
No, I think they have been either built or stockpiled by Sheev all those years ago. And they've been hanging out in the unknown regions.
I'm just coming to terms with the implications of this. Because they're deep.
Yes. Yeah.
No, and I'm talking about in a real world on planet Earth, in Star Wars fandom. Because that would mean that secretly the whole thing's been planned out from the start. In movie making, Lucasfilm. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes, like people sort of some people theorize, and I'm talking about movie making theories, that you know, the Emperor thing's just been thrown in.
Yeah.
Like it's just, oh, this will, you know, change the course of people liking or not liking, or, you know, we had nothing else. We didn't have an idea of what we're going to do, so we'll bring him back. But if this comes to pass,
mm-hmm.
like, I think it's so, it'd be so interesting, just because if you remember back when the first Chuck Wendig book came out,
mm-hmm.
and people were so disappointed with it not, you know, really telling you anything.
Yeah.
But if this all is, like, works out and it is all connected,
mm-hmm.
like, they were telling you so much without
yep.
us even realize, like, it was just, like, hiding in plain sight.
Right, like that thing that was published in 1978 that said the stormtroopers were clones. And then people freaked out when they realized it in 2002 when Attack of the Clones came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, I think you're right. The implications, if this is what it is, I don't – it's way more planned out than any of us had ever thought.
It's up there with Sheev's mm-hmm. plan to take over the universe in the prequels. Because that's what I always say, like, it's, you know, George Lucas's actual story of the prequels is, you know, you can argue its execution, but the core story of the prequels is a genius story about a genius plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love that. And I would be so... Yeah, that would be... I'd be so impressed.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people would have to delete a lot of tweets.
I think so. It's like that one when JJ said this week that Ryan didn't derail anything with The Last Jedi. Yeah, people are going to have to change some things they've been saying.
It reminds me of when they had that Force Awakens Comic-Con panel in 2015, and I spent mm-hmm. like, I don't know, about 3 months complaining how it was in the afternoon on Friday, and why not uh-huh. have it in the morning so then we can go do other stuff. But they had to uh-huh. have it in the late afternoon so then they could have the concert, which was like one of the greatest memories of my life.
Right.
And I had to issue a formal apology via content. Mm-hmm. The most sincere way to apologize. Anyway, so what do you reckon the chances are?
I think they're very good. I mean, I think it's very good that this is what's going to happen, just because when they got rid of the old EU, made it Legends, part of the idea was they're going to be telling one story and things are going to be more consistent. And so if they had all the way back then told Chuck Wendig, hey, work this stuff into your story. And it's some of it's mentioned in other places, like in the Last Jedi novelization. And I'm sure there are others that you can dig through, but those are the big two that come to mind. If they've been doing this, they've been doing it for a reason, and it's to make it all make sense when we see The Rise of Skywalker in December.
It would be very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But also, on a more cynical note, it'd be also doing their job.
Yeah. It would be. But it's nice to know that they're succeeding at it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think it would be just a sweet real-life Star Wars twist.
That it all came true?
That might be one of the main things now I want out of The Rise of Skywalker. Because
mm-hmm.
I just think it'd be funny.
Yeah.
Just that, like, they just went, here's what was going on. Like, the Emperor's going to come back. Here's all the hints.
You know, you should make I got your new t-shirt. instead of something that says, "See, I told you so," "Sheev, I told you so."
Tom's face on the video is very self-satisfied.
It just came to me.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, all right, let's get into this Black Spire book, which you've given okay. a Turnit recommendation. Give me the gist of what's going on. I think you said it was a couple months after the last Jedi.
Yes, the Last Jedi. Okay, well, first I just want to start off by saying that it's marketed mainly as a tie-in to Galaxy's Edge. And so I went into it. Because I haven't been to Galaxy's Edge, I don't know that I'm planning about going anytime soon. I'm not really interested in that aspect of it. But it's more than that. It's a sequel. The same author, Delilah Dawson, she wrote the Phasma novel that came out a few years ago. It's kind of a sequel to that because it takes two of the characters and explains what happens to them next. But it's also a follow-up to The Last Jedi and a beginning of the road to the rise of Skywalker.
Ooh.
Because it – go ahead.
Oh, I was – it's not like a big spoiler, but I'm just wondering. At any point do two characters complain how long it takes to get into the bar?
No. The bar, from my recollection, is relatively accessible, although one complains about how tough it is to get a table.
Oh, really? Very true yes. to life. Very true to life.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So who are these two characters, I guess?
Okay. Vi Marati, who is Princess Leia's top spy.
She in Phasma?
Yes. She was in Phasma.
And she's the lady that, like, roams about the park in real life.
Yes. Yeah. And in Phasma, she was tortured by the lead stormtrooper training commander, a guy named Cardinal.
With long waits for food.
Is that a Galaxy's Edge thing?
Yeah, because it's busy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
you can't get into the bar. Okay. Let's just get out of the way. I didn't get to go into the bar when I went. Okay, so I'm going to be bringing it up.
She probably goes every day, and you don't.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Then she rests a drink on the original table from Mary Poppins. You know, all that stuff.
Yeah, that Mary Poppins table still gold all these years later.
Dude.
So Cardinal was her torturer, but he defected to the Resistance. And now he's going under
Cardemption.
I'm sorry?
Cardemption.
Yes, Cardemption. His real name is Archex. And he was one of those children from Jakku who is being trained by Hux's father in Aftermath.
Well, that proves what I always say, Tom. And that is, I believe children are our future.
he was taught well and led the way.
Let them train with the First Order.
Yeah, right.
Give them a sense of fascism.
Fascism.
Continue, sorry.
So they are tasked by General Leia to establish a base on Batu.
I was told long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. Sorry.
Shadow of the Dark Side?
Yes, it's all connected.
Yes, yes. They crash land on Jakku. Batu. Why are these planets named so similarly? That's my thing. They crash land on Jakku, have to set up a base, but it turns out their ship, their wreckage, is picked cleaned by scavengers.
Ugh.
So Vi has to get a job, get her stuff back, go through an ancient temple to find an artifact, then deal with a bunch of First Order people that are after her, and establish a rebel base.
Big day.
Yeah, it takes place over the course of a few weeks or months. But there are tie-ins to, obviously, what goes on around Galaxy's Edge. There are tie-ins to what is going on in the world of the galaxy, the state of the galaxy, the conflict between the Resistance and the First Order. There are mentions of other characters from other movies. So it really pulls a lot of different things together in a good way.
Alrighty. Before we get into the spoilers,
mm-hmm.
a light spoiler, if you will. Maybe it won't
okay.
be. I'm hoping you can give me a really on-the-nose reference to Galaxy's Edge in the book.
Really on-the-nose reference to Galaxy's Edge in the book. Are there rules posted outside the cantina?
I have no idea. Because I couldn't get in, Tom.
Okay.
I couldn't even stare at the door because it hurt so much.
The cantina, I'm sorry. The cantina ones are what spring to mind. Apparently you can't ask about Wookiees in the cantina.
What?
That's what someone said you can't ask about Wookiees in the cantina. And the reason why is explained because Oga, the cantina owner, say that five times fast. She was in love with a Wookiee, but the Wookiee cheated on her with a Rodian waitress. And she killed the Wookiee.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So you see that in the book, a little bit of a love connection.
And I won't ask about
there's also bits about Doc Arndar, is it Savvy who runs the lightsaber shop?
Yeah.
Yeah. There are bits about them. The thing about Black Spire Outpost in this book, as I mentioned, you know, they were picked clean. Their ship crash landed in the wilderness on Batuu. Everything of value except for the things out of their pockets was taken from them. The lower half of their droid was stolen.
Oh.
And then so she goes.
Tyrannus.
Yes. So she goes into town.
His head.
No, his head. Yeah. Yeah. Darth Tyrannus' head on Pook's. Pook is the name of the droid on Pook's legs.
Well, what about if it was his body and it was upside down?
Walking on its hands?
No, he'd be walking on the legs from the droid.
Okay.
And his neck sort of plugged in to the droid's legs. And so
upside down?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he'd be hanging like a penis?
Yeah.
Okay. give us a new definition of Curve's lightsaber. That's all I gotta say.
Jeez.
That was bad. Okay. I don't even remember. Okay, so she goes into town, and it's a crime-ridden town, and everything is expensive. And this is how they're marketing, you know, Galaxy's Edge. Crime-ridden town where everything is expensive.
God, honest trailers.
Exactly.
Interesting. All right, so that's it for the non-spoiler action. Tom mm-hmm. gives it a turn it, not a burn it.
Yep.
And let's get in. This is your we've got to do the musical break. I almost forgot about that. Well, Tom sings us into the spoiler territory.
My apologies. Star Wars, talking about spoilers in the book Black Spire. I'm going to say spoilers. How's that?
That's what people that are normal think Star Wars podcasts are like.
Yes. They will, when asked about this podcast, they will say burn it.
Hit me up. What goes on in this book?
Okay. So the book starts off right as Leia is about to leave for Tak O'Dona in The Force Awakens.
Wait.
Middle of The Force Awakens.
Ah, to meet Han Solo.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So she tells Vi That's another thing. I always thought it was V Marotti, but then I went to the publishing panel at Celebration, like, no, it's Vi. So, mentally changing the way I say it in my head.
So the whole panel true fanned you.
Yes, it did. True fanned hardcore. So she's about to go off, but then the First Order blows up Hosnian Prime.
Bummer.
And everything gets set back. And then it skips ahead a few months to the Resistance is on the run because The Last Jedi happened. You don't get an idea of what Vi was doing during like the Battle of Crait and the run from the First Order, but you do get – you'd get a sense of what dire straits they're in. It feels like they have a few more people with them than the 18 or so people who are on board the Millennium Falcon at the end of The Last Jedi, but – Leia tells Vi she needs to go to with Cardinal, now going by the name Archex, to Batuu to set up a base, recruit allies, hide out from the First Order.
What do you make about this torturing Cardinal being getting his cardemption?
Well, they do a good job of showing him as a tortured individual where he's not. He wants to make up for the past, but he's not fully on board with the Resistance yet. But he's trying to do the right thing. And he was beat up pretty badly by Captain Phasma in the Phasma novel. Like, she stabbed him through the gut. So he's injured, very badly injured. He can't, he can barely walk at times in the book. So he's undergoing both these physical and mental struggles in the book. So it's not an easy cardemption.
Get him some spider legs.
I don't know if that was ever approached in the book. That would be a good idea, though.
Man, if you want, where's this Star Wars ring theory? The poetry. It's all connected. Now, all right. So who did he tortured Phasma in the book?
No, he tortured Vi. The woman he's working with in this book. But he also helped her escape.
All right. Next time I go down to Galaxy's Edge, I'm going to have a word to Vi about...
working with Cardinal?
Yes.
Archex?
Dude, come on. Continue.
Okay. So they are given a droid, a PK series droid, which is a droid from the prequels. And his name is Pook. And I like the character, but at the same time, Pook is one of these sarcastic, I can do everything better than you can type droids.
Imagine if they had a droid in the Star Wars universe that just did its job.
Without being annoying.
Yeah, just do stuff. Just
yeah. Go
along the ground and then go up to stuff and go bloop, 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 bloop. Like, just right. Do your job.
Right. Well, this droid has medical capabilities. It can move and build things. So it's a very talented droid. It just complains about human beings all the time.
They're all tortured stand-up comics.
Yes, they are.
Like on the open mic circuit.
Pretty much. But I will admit, as much as that's becoming a trope, I enjoyed the character in this book. So they head to Batuu, and there's a battle in the upper atmosphere with another smuggler leaving. They get hit. They crash land on Batuu.
Is it a battle for parking?
No.
Okay, because that would be awesome. Like, just outside of Batuu.
They crash land in a forest, so the outside of Black Spire, so there's plenty of parking there.
Okay.
They wake up. Pretty much everything is gone. Because of scavengers having taken everything from them. So even the bottom half of their droid. So Vi goes into town and meets the woman who runs the gas station at Blackspire. I don't remember her name, but she gets shown around. She gets told the way it is, but she realizes she's going to have a hard time recruiting people to her cause. First of all, because everyone thinks that Batuu is – too far remote for the First Order to care at all. The other thing we learn in the book is that everyone thinks that Starkiller Base is still operational. So people don't want to rise up against the First Order.
And is the only reason they know about Starkiller Base because it shot that five beams?
Yes.
Yeah, people didn't know about that beforehand.
Yeah, no. They know that it killed Hosni, and they know the First Order has the way to destroy planets from anywhere in the galaxy, but they don't know that the Resistance defeated it.
Do people in the book continuously assume it blew up Coruscant and then have to be corrected?
Coruscant is mentioned once or twice, I think.
Why didn't they just blow up Coruscant?
Because people love Coruscant.
Blow it up.
Oh, keep it. They need to bring it back. I want to see it in Rise of Skywalker.
And that's the other thing. Why'd you not just blow it up? Unless you're going to bring it back in some blow it up.
Bring it back.
All right, continue.
Okay. So Vi goes into town and she learns that it's a very expensive place to live and visit. She learns some of the local customs. She gets a job as a scavenger, but at the Savi, the guy who runs the lightsaber. Yep, exactly. So what happens is he gets junk. His people go through it looking for antiques and lightsaber parts. And she gets this job. She starts making a little bit of money, but she also starts poking her nose around the town. And she runs afoul of Oga, the owner of the cantina. Oga says there's this temple outside of town that has an artifact. And if Vi can get this artifact back, Oga will give her back most of the material that was stolen from her ship. Because it was Oga's people who stole it.
How lazy is she that this artifact's just out there? And
well, here's the thing. You remember Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade?
Heard of it?
Yeah. Okay. So this was like that temple where every room had a danger. Like I'm reading the book and I'm expecting Harrison Ford to be walking through, going pentanet. It was serious. Like every room had a different type of trap. But around this time, a First Order squad led by, I think he's Lieutenant Kath. He was also in the first book. He was a former friend of Cardinals. He lands and is searching for Vi. Oga says she's in the old temple. He and a bunch of stormtroopers go to the temple, and they're kind of chasing each other through the temple, dodging these traps. Vi makes it out with the artifact and thinks that this Kath was killed at the temple. Vi gives Oga the artifact. Oga says, here's your stuff. Vi, the droid, and Archex go to the temple and basically remove all the traps and make it their new base. Along the way, Vi also meets two other characters. Dolan, I think that's how you say his name, who's a farmer. He joins up because he wants to do something with his life, because his community is very insular. They don't really go out a lot. They stick to their farms. He wants to do something with his life. And then another character named Creaky, I believe is how you say it. She is a Chadra fan. You know what those are?
A Chadra?
Chadra fan. Remember in A New Hope, the little bat wombat type thing who is reaching up to the cantina bar for the drink?
Ah, Cabe.
Yeah, Cabe. Yeah, she's one of those.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and she's very good with building things, mechanics, stuff like that.
Does she like drinking?
I'm sorry?
Does she like drinking?
Not as much as Cabe did.
Okay, because you know how there was like that EU thing of whatever that alien species did in the original trilogy, the entire species did that?
Yes. That does not happen in the new EU.
Okay.
Yeah. So
all the Rodians, it truly is for them a new you.
Correct. Not every Rodian is a shifty bounty hunter. Some are simply waitresses who get involved with Wookiees who are in love with their boss. The waitress was fired, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
You could sue for that.
You may, I don't know. It's, I think Oga kind of runs things on.
See, that's when the Rodian character needed to be in the real world. Because, like, if a Disney employee got fired for that, like, if someone playing a character in the bar got fired because they had sex with the bar manager's boyfriend, you could sue for that.
I'm sure you could. I'm sure you could.
Okay.
But would the boyfriend die in the real world too?
Well, there'd be more legal proceedings after that, I think.
I'm sure there would be. Yeah. Okay. I'm sure there would be. So the four of them are trying to get this rebel resistance base up and running, but they're not having.
Do they have a montage where they like are all cleaning up and then fun things happen where they bump into each other and stuff?
Not really. There's a giant snake thing that attacks them when they're sleeping.
Doesn't sound like a fun montage at all.
No, I wouldn't say a fun montage. But they're not having people, like I said earlier, people at Black Spire Outpost don't really believe the First Order is a threat, even though they're now stormtroopers walking around. So they don't really sign up to join the resistance.
Gotcha.
So they are trying to set up their base, and they're unsuccessfully trying to recruit when they meet a smuggler in the bar, a guy named Zade.
Dash Renda.
No, he is – he does not wear giant shoulder pads.
What about anything quilted?
No, he had some fine clothes. They said shimmer silk shirts. So I don't think anything that was quilted. But he was the person who could not find a table at the bar, at the cantina. And he gets drunk and likes to rant on the First Order. So he fit in naturally with them. And he has, unlike Vi, he has tons of charisma which gets people over to their side. But at the same time, it draws the attention of the First Order. And the First Order are starting to rough up the citizens of Black Spire to find Vi, to find Archex, and basically put a stop to them. And Vi decides that they need to do something. So they come up with a plan to see if they can get the First Order ship that is the mobile headquarters to leave the planet, transmit a code back to the First Order Star Destroyer to say the planet is clear, and then somehow destroy the transport before it gets back. And they think if they sneak on board the transport and hack their way in, they can do it.
The plan is to get into the base, go up to space.
Yep.
All clear here, guys.
Yes. And then boom.
And then blow it up.
Yeah.
So they're not going to go, all right, where are you off to now? Are you there? Hey. I think you cut out.
I don't know if they thought that far in advance.
It's an Independence Day level plan.
Yes. And you know what? There are a bunch of farmers on motorbikes. There's not a farmer in an airplane, but there are farmers on motorbikes that are part of their plan. Dolan, the farmer, asks a bunch of his friends to help out. They storm the transport, and there are fist fights and firefights, and Archex basically gives himself up so that Vi can stay on Batuu, because Archex, during the book, he's trying to come to grips with the fact that he can't be what he used to be. He wants to be valuable. He wants to give something to the team. He doesn't want help. And also being a stormtrooper his whole life, he's acclimating himself to life in the galaxy, and it's not always working out. There's a moment when he misinterprets something Vi says the wrong way and leans in for a kiss and is rejected. Bummer. Yeah. They do some very interesting things with his character, but in the end, he sacrifices himself so they can buy time, get creaky, the you know, the one who's good with mechanical things. She goes in, she hacks
Cabe.
Their system. Cabe. Creaky Cabe. And Vi, you know, stays on the planet. The ship goes up, transmits the code, and boom. The threat is gone. Vi establishes a base. She gets a lot more recruits because, you know, people see, okay, the First Order was a danger. The First Order was threatening us, but the Resistance drove them off. She starts communicating with Leia regularly. And then the book ends with Kylo Ren landing on Black Spire Outpost.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Kylo Ren was there when I was there.
Yeah. There were some interesting things that happened or that we learned during the book. But I didn't want to work them in. I wasn't able to work them in before, but I wanted to hit them up. First of all, the New Republic made pod racing illegal.
Finally.
Yeah. What the character who owns the lightsaber shop, his name is escaping me right now.
That's the antiques. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. He is a friend of Lor San Tekka.
Who isn't?
Yeah. Lor San Tekka was mentioned a few times in this book, because he has an assistant who helps out Vi, and they help Vi and the Resistance without helping them, if that makes sense. Like, they can't help them outright, but they are believers in the Force. That's what he was, a member of this Church of the Force that Lor San Tekka was.
Gotcha.
So he knew Lor, met Luke. The other thing we learn is that, like the last scene in The Last Jedi shows us, what Luke did on the Battle of Crait is known throughout the galaxy.
Ooh.
So that was my problem. One of my problems with the myths and legends, myths and fable books, where I thought it should have ended with Luke at the Battle of Crait, and it didn't even mention it at all. But here it mentions that's something that, if you know it, and you know what it means. Another thing that people know about in this book, they know about Leia using the Force to pull herself back into the ship. Just random people in Black Spire Outpost know that happened, or they heard that story from somewhere.
Did it ruin any of their childhoods?
Did not say it ruined any of their childhoods.
Their
space
childhoods.
They did not call her Leia Poppins.
Okay.
I think the woman said, we know how she used her powers, how she was one with the Force and was able to pull herself back into the ship to save herself.
That's got to be that Poe Dameron. He can't keep a secret for
I think, yeah. And then the other thing that I thought was of interest was when Vi is captured by the storm, by the First Order, there are three things they want to know. They want to know where the Resistance is. They want to know where Leia is, and they want to know where that girl Rey is. And I just find it interesting that is one of the First Order's, you know, main objectives, is to find not just Leia, not just the Resistance, but also Rey. And in the book, you know, Vi talks about the Resistance a lot, and she mentions, and we have this girl Rey who is becoming a Jedi like Luke Skywalker.
Very easily becoming a Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I thought it was a very good book. It was very quick moving. The characters were relatable. There was a lot of emotion behind these characters. Like I said, Vi and Archex had to learn to work with each other, to live with each other, on each other.
I just got a buddy.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any book in Star Wars in the new U or the old U, the EU, that explains how Luke knew how to use telekinesis to make the lightsaber go into his hand on Hoth?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
How did he not? Now that we're going to like fine tooth comb nitpick everything, that how did he know?
How did he know? It's what you get with a connected universe.
How did he know?
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going.
Okay. What was the last thing I said? the characters, Creaky the Cabe.
Yeah.
She is
Seiko.
She's basically being abused by her former employer. And in a very sweet and nice moment, Vi rescues her and helps her out. And that employer basically later on turns Vi into the First Order. So there are a lot of little character moments in this book that I liked.
Okay.
Okay. Then there are some things like I don't want to say they rubbed me the wrong way, but they definitely stood out. Like if you're in a cantina and you're in Black Spire and you have to relieve yourself, where do you ask to be directed? What's the Star Wars word for it?
The refresher.
Yes. They say she asks for the restroom, which is just like very on Star Wars. And also, you know, if you're in a cantina and there's a band playing, maybe Figurin' Dan and the Modal Nodes, what kind of music are they playing?
Oh, that's sweet jizz.
Yes. Jazz.
That's burn it.
No. You know what? The rest of the book is so good. It overcomes these little things that stick out.
Dude, you don't reference jizz and not say jizz.
Yeah. When that's my biggest complaint about a book, I say I don't have anything against this book.
So your biggest complaint about the book is not enough jizz?
It needed more jizz, yes.
Excellent.
There you go.
So Kylo Ren arrives. And when that was revealed, did you go, it's all connected, poetry?
Yes, poetry. Exactly.
What was it like? Did you see it coming or?
No, I didn't.
Did it tantalize you when you realized? Like, were you like, ah, ha, 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 clever little story group?
No, I wouldn't say it tantalized. I thought it was an okay ending.
Okay.
I thought it was a fitting ending. But I think if I had been to Galaxy's Edge and I'd seen that ugly shuttle that Colin Trevorrow designed.
That doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense.
I've been there in real life. I don't know how people could fit in it. Like, it's like a mini... It's like if they built... Say it's like in toy versions, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like if Disneyland is 3¾ scale. But then the Millennium Falcon is that size of the, like that weird Millennium Falcon they made for Solo. The cool figures. It's just like, I was staring at it when I was in. I was like, how does anyone fit? Like, do they have to crouch down as soon as they get, like what? This ship does not make sense.
Kylo can use the Force in many ways, including to make himself smaller and taller.
That Colin, man, he left his mark. He gave us a hint.
Hopefully that thing stays on Batu. Does not leave.
There's no way it could take off, I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
But
so if I had seen that ugly ship and I knew Kylo was walking around Black Spire regularly, then I would have been like, oh, genius. But as it was, as someone who was just reading it for the Star Wars-ness of it all, I was fine with the ending. It didn't. I was better with the earlier parts of the book.
When Kylo stepped off the ship, did any locals pull out their space communicators and start recording it?
The book did not mention that.
Okay, you can only assume though. You can only assume.
It didn't mention if any babies went up to him and tried using the Force or anything. I did not see any instances of that.
Well, that's what you have to go down there to find out what happened next.
Right.
Oh, my God. Do you think if you were, like, just an epic canon junkie? You would wait until you got to Disneyland in Galaxy's Edge, and then you read the final chapter of the book, ending with Kylo walking out. Like, you turn, you close the page, and then Kylo's walking down the gangway of the ship that doesn't make sense.
That would be a great way to that immersion. Oh. Immersion. That's the way to do it, Steve.
It's all connected. Alrighty, Tom. Thanks so much. That was amazingly informative on several levels. So thank you for bringing your Star Wars intellect to the internet. Where can the good people of the internet follow you on Twitter and perhaps hear you in other places?
I am Tom Chansky on Twitter, one word. I'm also on the Sith List, and I do Patreon shows with Hawes at Blue Harvest and the Bad Motivators and Page Wars.
Excellent. Hey, so we're about done. I kind of regret I didn't make any references about Galaxy's Edge being in the book. I felt like I could have.
That's okay.
I could have asked.
We talked about it.
Questions.
It came through to the end.
I'm mocking myself for doing that joke about 74 times. Obviously not enough. Thanks so much, Tom. And when's the next book coming out?
That's a good question. I think it's sometime next month because there's a Star Wars book every month this year. You know, for starting in March, it was every month is a Star. I could look it up if you want.
Oh, don't worry about that. But if there's not one coming up, but I was thinking maybe if we can get one in beforehand. Is that main Star Wars comic book series about to end?
They're saying that 75 will be the last episode of the current run. And then they're going to, when it's done, there's going to be another series after it.
Gotcha. What number are we up to now? Is it 74 or is it?
It's in the low 70s, I think.
I'd love to do an episode where you just tell me what happened, all the major things that happen in those books.
We can do that.
Okay. Cause I dropped out. Although that first one where Luke faced Darth Vader, that was, so I want to hear all about it. I want to hear about the time. I remember he also faced Boba Fett. So who knows who else he faced in the issues I haven't read. Hey, Tom, thanks so much. Thanks to our patrons that support the show and get to hear every episode of Page Wars along with all our other stuff. And just in the last week, you guys, at the $3 level, there's a Juklun Strikes Back. That's a show, a very loose show, with my wife and her friend Blondie talking Star Wars with me interrupting. Then there's the Producer Rashad show, Sardu, where we talk about everything but Star Wars. And we just did an episode watching the Breaking Bad movie trailer. What else is there in Patreon stuff? I'm just paging down. There's a Q&A that went up last week and a Robbo report. Mm-hmm. Which we're about to record another one after this. Plenty of new content. And I do the Q&As every week pretty much. You guys can ask questions or topics or whatever you want. And I will ramble accordingly. And that's on the $3 Content Club level. So, Tom, good sizzle. I feel like we did our bit for the internet today, man.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
How do I normally end this? Just a normal way?
Sure, why not?
Well, Tom, I'll see you on Twitter. And may that force be with you. Page Wars, nothing but Page Wars.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.